the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Apostle Marco, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that introduction. I was kind of saying, okay, who is that? But I praise God for you. I thank the Lord for you and Apostle Irving. And, of course, the opportunity to share with you in what the Lord is doing through I Am That I Am Prayer Tabernacle Ministries Midwives Arise Global Prayer Conference. I am so excited about this theme, the birthing of divine purpose to fulfill your destiny. And just so timely, such a timely theme, a timely word. I know that God has been sharing. I was on with you on Sunday and was really blessed by the word and just hearing the clarion call that God is making to his people to really follow after him, to put their full confidence and trust in him and not in anything or anyone else. And so I bless God for you, for your steadfastness, for your love that you have for the Lord and for the people of God. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm not going to be before you long on tonight, but I do want to just pray a little and then share what the Lord has given me and then just pray after. Heavenly Father, I come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I decrease and ask that you would increase, Lord, that you would be my strength, that you would just cause your grace to abound toward me, in me, through me, that you will cause me to stay focused on what it is that you would have me to share. And so I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. I thank you for your faithfulness to your people, to your word, to truth. I thank you for your faithfulness to time and how you have prepared time and place and space for your people. I thank you, Father, that you continue to give us ears to hear and eyes to see exactly what it is that you're doing and what you desire for us to do. So thank you for that, Father. Thank you for just causing your purposes to come to life for us, Lord. And, Father, of course we do. We bind the hand of the enemy who always comes to steal, kill, and destroy, who always comes to distract, to deceive, to bring discouragement, doubt, depression. We come against every trick and scheme of the enemy. And we thank you, Lord God, mighty God, that through the name of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, no weapon formed against your people shall prosper. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We even see this in the word that every time the enemy would come to destroy the people of God, would come to curse the people of God, that you, Lord, just showed yourself strong and mighty, that you continue to protect, to lead, and to guide. You became the banner. You became the bulwark. You became the defense. And so we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For your magnificent presence in and through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let me read the scripture, Exodus 1, verses 15 through 17 and verse 20. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. And then verse 20, therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. And so here in the scripture, we know that the midwives were committed. They were committed to helping babies be born and not to kill them. Shipra and Pua showed great courage when they decided to go against the king of Egypt, Pharaoh's command. Midwives are not moved by threats or fear of retaliation. They feared God more than the man. Their faith in God gave them the courage to take a stand for what they knew was right. And I believe that this is something that the Lord is speaking to us, the body of Christ, the people of God, that we must maintain courage to take a stand whenever we see or hear something that we know is not right. It's easy to look away. It's easy to pretend that what was said wasn't really said or what was done wasn't really done. But God is wanting the people of God to take a stand for what we know is right. He wants us to take a stand because he has called us to be light in the midst of darkness. So in this situation, not following the command of the one in authority was right. God does not expect us to obey those in authority when they ask us to disobey God or his word. And this is anybody. The word of God is filled with examples of those who were willing to sacrifice their very lives in order to obey God or to save other lives. We know that Esther and Mordecai were put in that position. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were also put in that position. Esther was told that she was not to go before the king unless he held out his scepter to her. Yet she heard the decree to destroy the people of God, and she was willing to fast and pray, not just by herself or for herself, but she gathered her maids with her, and she was ready to pray and intercede and to become that sacrifice and go before the king. How do we know? Because she said, if I perish, I perish. It doesn't matter. I'm going to see him. I'm going to put an end to what the enemy has devised. And so we also see with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that they refused to bow down and worship this golden image. They knew that Yahweh said that we should have no other gods before us. And sometimes we don't even recognize when people and things have become gods and idols in our lives. But God is bringing the conviction. He's causing us to really examine ourselves to see if we are truly in the faith. So yes, Shipra and Pua lied to Pharaoh. But God did not bless them because they lied. God blessed them because they were led by a higher source. They were led by the highest power. They followed the law of God to save life. Shipra and Pua had to keep the boy babies alive because Moses was coming. The Lord already knew who he was going to use to keep the boy babies alive. The Lord already knew Pharaoh was going to be Pharaoh. The Lord already knew his people were in bondage. The Lord already knew his people needed to be delivered and that his people needed a deliverer. And so, again, this is just so fascinating to me because it's a reminder that God knows everything. He already knows. He knows the end from the beginning. He already knows the situation, the challenge, the test, the trial that we will find ourselves in. He already knows. And he already knows how we're going to respond. He already knows the people that he has assigned to assist us and to help us and to deliver us out of any dilemma that we find ourselves in. Sometimes we forget that. We forget that the Lord knows. We say, well, if the Lord knows, why does he allow certain things to happen in our lives? Why does he allow tragedy and pain and sorrow and heartache? And it's not that God is an uncaring God. It's not that he doesn't see or that he doesn't care. It's not that he's not concerned. He's concerned about his people. He cares about his people. It's the fact that there are things that are purposed or designed in this world. Jesus even said it, in this world you will have persecution, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. And if I have overcome the world and you are in me, then you can overcome the world. That God doesn't put more on us than we can bear. He even makes a way of escape for us. And sometimes this is a hard thing to bear, but God allows things to happen so that we would be drawn closer to God, that we would learn, that we would grow, that he would be able to demonstrate and manifest his presence and his power in our lives. He allows things to happen. He doesn't cause them. He doesn't bring them. But he does allow some things to happen. The Hebrew word for purpose is toknit, which points to a master plan or blueprint, a basic aim or purpose for all creation, all life, and especially for humans. One might also use the term kavana, meaning intention. And so God is a God of purpose. Our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, Elohim, El Shaddai, is a God of purpose. He has a master plan or blueprint for everything that he has created. He has intention for everything that he has created. Baker's Evangelical Dictionary of Biblical Theology says that the Old Testament verbal root of the Hebrew word for purpose means to give counsel, to deliberate, or determine, or to purpose. And so we have to understand that God has already determined our end. He has already determined that we have the victory. He has already determined that in him we will win. Acts 13:36, David had served God's purpose in his own generation. That each season, each generation, each time, God had a purpose for specific people to fulfill his purpose. It's all about his purpose. Never mistake that. Whatever it is you're going through, it's all about his purpose. Whatever it is that you see happening even in the world, it is going to work out for God's purpose. So we don't become dismayed. We don't become disheartened. We just continue as the people of God to seek after God's purpose. Seek after his intention. Seek after his master plan or blueprint. Seek him for his purpose. David served God's purpose in his own generation. And in every generation, God handpicks, he hand selects those who will serve his purpose. The New Testament definition for purpose is to bring forth or forward. To bring forth or forward. And the Apostle Paul explains to us that God works out everything and brings all things under Christ in conformity with the purpose of his will. The whole economy of God is linked with his purpose. A lot of times people will, you know, say to me, I want to know what God's purpose is for my life. And it's good to ask that. It's good to want to know that. However, I believe in this season and in this time, God is saying, don't be so consumed with what your purpose is. Be more concerned about what my purpose is. Because it's according to his will. The whole economy, the whole world, the whole earth, you, me, are linked with God's eternal purpose, which is found only in Jesus Christ, his Son. The Word of God says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. And that's in Ephesians. And so, in other words, God is already letting us know that it's in Christ. Everything that we need, everything that he has purpose in himself is in Christ. And that it's an eternal purpose. And in the fullness of the times, he is going to gather us together in one in Christ. Everything that's happening in the heaven, everything that's happening in the earth, that's what we read in Revelation. In him, because it's in him that we move and live and have our very being. We cannot make it without Christ. I know that people try to tell you that you can go your own way, you can do your own thing, and God will forgive you. And yes, he will. But in the meantime of going your own way and doing it your own way, you miss the fullness of God's purpose. Paul understands that the believer's part in the people of God is not an accident or random phenomena, but part of God's divine purpose from the very beginning of time. God knew that Adam and Eve were going to sin. God had a purpose. He created a way for Jesus Christ to become manifest. He said, he shall bruise your head, talking to the serpent. So God, at that very moment, moved into greater purpose. Even in Genesis, God already knew. He knew they were going to sin. He knew that they were going to fall to temptation. He knew that they were going to be deceived. He knew that they were going to transgress. He already had a plan. God has a plan. He has a master plan. He has a blueprint, and nothing and no one is going to stop the purpose and plan that God has for your life. Not even you. You can try to run. You can try to hide. You can try to deny. You can try to chase after other gods. But if God's hand is upon you, if you have been chosen and called by God for such a time as this to fulfill his purposes in your generation, he is going to make sure it comes to pass. Romans 8:28-29 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." All things work together for the good. For those who are called according to his purpose. You've been called according to his purpose. God's purpose is specifically characterized here by the words foreknew and predestined. So whenever you find yourself in a perplexing situation or in dire straits, or in some difficulty or challenge, ask the Lord, "Lord, why is this happening?" Don't ask from a place of pity. Ask from a place of purpose. "Lord, why is this happening? What purpose are you trying to fulfill in and through my life?" And sometimes it's not even about us. It's about our family. It's about our neighbor. It's about that person on the street. It's about that coworker. It's about that church member. But when we ask God, "Why is this happening?" I need to understand the purpose. I need to understand what it is that you are trying to bring forth. And when we understand what the Lord is trying to bring forth, then we should surrender to his will and not fight against it. Because then we'll know what to do. We'll know what to say. We'll know how to move. We'll know what decision is the right decision. We'll know what course of action is the right course of action to take. The Bible says that whenever David was perplexed, he inquired of the Lord. We have a hard time inquiring of the Lord. But if we would just take our time, as David did before he made certain moves, he would say, "Shall I go?" Some of us are in some challenging situations because we did not stop to ask the Lord, "Shall I go?" And then he may have said, "No, don't go." But instead, we went anyway. And we miss the full purpose of God. Yes, God will cause all things to work together, but we don't exactly know when he's going to do that. It could be weeks, months, or years. And so we can miss the full purpose of God. But we thank God for his grace that he gives us opportunity after opportunity. He brings it back around for us, and in the process, he matures us and gets us ready to receive the answer according to his will, the counsel of his will. And so, in closing, three things. Remember this. God is preparing you. God is preparing you. It's all about his purpose. It's all about fulfilling his purpose. So everything that you go through, look at it as a learning experience. Look at it as a means of God preparing you and not trying to destroy you. The next point is just trust God in the process. Trust him in the process, no matter how painful it is. We know in John 15 that the Lord prunes us. He cuts away things so that we will bear fruit, that we will bear more fruit, and that we will bear much fruit. Why? Because his purpose is that his joy would remain in us. It's not about the fruit, it's about the joy. So he says, whenever you find yourself in various trials, what do? Count it all joy, knowing that this test or this trial is working out a greater purpose for you, that you would gain patience, that we would have patience, and then we would learn to let patience have its perfect work, that we would be complete, lacking nothing. That's God's purpose, that we not lack anything. And then the last one is allow God to live his purpose through you. Jesus said, Lord, if it be your will, take this cup from me. Take it away. If I can do anything to stop me from having to go to the cross. But then he said, not my will, but your will be done. That I have come to do the works of him who sent me to fulfill my purpose. Jesus fulfilled his purpose, even though it was painful, even though it involved sacrifice, even though it involved the shedding of his blood. Shipra and Pua did. They allowed God to live his purpose through them. They allowed God to bring forth his purpose in the earth, because God knew that Moses was coming. He knew that the people of God were in bondage, and they had been crying out for a deliverer. So the Lord says, I have been preparing you for such a time as this. Seize the moment. Give God everything that you've got. Allow him to live his purpose through you. Trust God in the process. He's preparing you. He's preparing you for something greater. God wants to birth some new things in the earth, and he wants to do it through you. The word of God says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Keep the faith. Keep your heart fixed on Jesus. Allow the Lord to strengthen you even as he's preparing you, that you would persevere, that you would not faint, that you would not give up. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. He's preparing you. And he said he would never leave you nor forsake you. You can trust him to manifest and bring forth his purpose for your life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. So Heavenly Father, I come to you right now, Lord, just blessing you and magnifying you, Father, Lord God, because I feel in the spirit realm, I'm discerning in the spirit realm, Lord, that there are some people, your people, who have moved away from their place of faith in you because of the pain, because of the trials, because of the tests, because of the lack of understanding what your purpose is in their life at this particular time. And so, Father, I pray and thank you for revealing your purpose, your perfect will concerning them, Lord God, and that your plans, the thoughts and plans that you have for your people are to do us good and not evil, to give us a future and a purpose and expected end. And so, Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you, Lord God, would strengthen right now, that you would cause steel to come into the backs of your people, that you will cause a resolve that come hell or high water, I'm going to stay planted. I'm going to stay with the Lord. I'm going to seek him with my whole heart. I'm not going to shrink back. I'm not going to look to other gods, but I'm going to serve him with my whole heart. I'm going to serve him, and I'm going to inquire of him, shall I go? Shall I do? Shall I say? Shall I be? And I'm going to wait for him to answer. I'm not going to move until he answers me. When Jacob wrestled with the angel, he said, I am not going to let go until you bless me. God is saying, don't let go. I'm about to bless you. Don't let go. The blessing, the answer is right on the other side of the door. And your faith and your key to prayer is going to open that door. Remain steadfast. So, Father, I continue to praise you and thank you, Father, for giving strength, Lord God, to those who would want to give up, those who would want to shrink back. Father, I thank you for a fresh anointing, Lord, a fresh wind. Just breathe on them, Father. Breathe on them, Lord God. The breath of life, Lord. Revive them again, Father. Stir in their hearts, Lord God. And Father, forgive us, Lord, for those times, God, where we didn't seek after you. We didn't care about your purpose. We wanted to do what we wanted to do, when we wanted to do it, how we wanted to do it, with whoever we wanted to do it. Father, forgive us for that. We repent, Lord God. And we turn to you knowing that your way is the best way, that your will is perfect, and that your timing is perfect, and that our times are in your hand. Thank you, Father, for birthing something new in the earth, Lord, that I know your word says there's nothing new under the sun. But there are so many new things that we have not seen, that we have not experienced, that there is more of you, Lord God, that we need to know and allow you to manifest your glory in and through our lives. And so, Father, we thank you for using us to birth something new in the earth. Thank you for using us to rebuild the old waste places. Thank you for using us to raise up a generation. Thank you, Lord, for using us to repair the breaches. Yes, that's what Shipra and Pua did They stood in the gap. They stood in the gap between heaven and earth, between life and death. They repaired the breach because they knew that you had purpose. And because they feared you more than man, you blessed them with their own families. So thank you, Lord, for blessing our families. Thank you for blessing the family of God. Continue, Father, to just pour your grace and your mercy, your love and your forgiveness upon us, God, so that your purposes can come forth, so that your intentions can be revealed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Whoa. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Apostle Dawn. Wow. That word really touched me. Inquiring of God. Wow. Praise the Lord. I'm going to open the line. If anyone wants to say something, open the line and you can say something in the name of Jesus. Let me unmute the line. You can just go ahead and say something if you would like to say something. Mine is unmuted. You can say something if you would like to. Okay, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, wow. We bless the Lord for this word this evening in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise God that we're able to record it. I'm going to listen to it more and listen again and again when I hear these words. It's an encouragement. Hallelujah. Because many times we are almost there. We get weary. We get tired. And we don't fulfill all of the counsel, all of our purpose, nothing. And we stop right when we're almost there. But we thank God that even we're going through the pain, when we go through the pain, is through the process. I really took note of everything that Apostle Dawn ministered this evening about. Hallelujah. And we bless God. It was a on-time word for this season. Stand unmovable. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise the name of Jesus, using us to fulfill his purpose. Not our will, but thy will be done. Hallelujah. I want to say thank you to Apostle, and we're going to pray for her this evening in the name of Jesus. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for using your daughter, oh God, for bringing forth your word, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for encouraging us through her, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you that she reminded us, you reminded us through her to inquire of you and not just move ahead, oh God. Father, we thank you, oh God, that the word came forth, oh God, hallelujah, and ministered to our spirit, oh God, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, I ask you to continue to bless your servant, bless your handmaiden, bless your daughter, oh God. Bless the works of her hands in the name of Jesus. Lord, take her from glory to glory, oh God, in the name of Jesus, from faith to faith, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Father, daily, Lord, her with benefits to bring forth your kingdom to others, oh God, that they can hear and receive the word, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for all that you've done and you continue to do in her life, in her family, in her ministry, the different things that you're doing, oh God. We bless you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, indeed, it's a gift to the body of Christ. So, Father God, we thank you and we bless you for her, oh God, her husband, her family, her children, new creations, oh God. We bless you, oh God. We praise you for her prophetic, for the prophetic school, for all that she's doing in this season. Your will, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for unity and oneness in the body of Christ, oh God. Holy Spirit, we thank you for even this conference. Hallelujah, that this conference has set to remind us of what we are here to do and how to endure these things in the name of Jesus. We bless your name. We thank you even for the chastisement, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We praise your glorious and your holy name. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to the King of Kings. Glory to the Lord of Lords. Apostle Dawn, we just want to bless God for you. We say thank you once again. And we thank all those that are here this evening. Hallelujah. I know some are shy. People don't want to say stuff, but it is well. It is well. We love you. We appreciate each and every one of you. I mean, this is recorded. So if you need a recording, let us know. You can send me an email at amprayers@gmail.com, or I'm going to post the recording on the social media networks, and then you can have it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do a replay tomorrow morning on I Am Morning Glory so that the word can go forth in the name of Jesus. Such an on-time word. Hallelujah. We bless God and we thank you. Tomorrow evening, join us at the same time at 7 p.m. so that you can receive. Hallelujah. We bless God and we thank each and every one of you. Once again, thank you, Apostle Dawn. God bless each and every one of you. Have a wonderful and a blessed evening. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.